As we study through the Bible in chronological order, because of the story of the God's ministry, so we can understand how he ministered and how he lead the history of the human being. This is the 39th time of the sermon from the Genesis. Today's subject is based on the chapter 18 to 19 of the Exodus. The message of the Exodus is not the miracle, but the word. So last week we looked at the journey after crossing the Red Sea through Mara, Elim, and the wilderness of the Sin to the Rephidim. So there was no water in Rephidim, and it became a harsh atmosphere. There were things that the Amalekites attacked and fought. Through the various events that we meet on the way of the faith, we could know what kind of life is to trust God and live by faith. So the Bible tells the story of the faith from the Genesis in the Old Testament, not talking about salvation by the religious practice, but the faith. I hope you can meditate on what kind of life is living by the faith. So this progress of the journey of the Israelite after Exodus, and give us the insight how to live today's life. When we come across the problems in front of us in daily life, how to build up the relationship with God, how to living in a faithful life. So continue, we look at the chapter 18, the story of the Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, the visiting to Moses. We can guess Moses left his wife and children in his father-in-law's house when he called for the God for the Exodus. Verse 2 says that Moses sent his wife back with his children when Moses first received the call of God and was commissioned to Egypt. He was accompanied by his wife Zipporah and his sons Gershom and Eleazar. In the case of the angel trying to kill Moses for not circumcising his son, chapter 4, verse 24 to 26 of the Exodus. It seems that Moses sent his wife and children home. So Zipporah seemed to be upset about the circumcision at the time, that it is time for Moses to come back from Egypt to meet them again when he was busy to lead and instruct people. When they met together, Moses testified of what God did, and Jethro, the father-in-law, heard this testimony also, confessed that God is greater than all other gods. In this confession, Jethro said that he was the priest of Midian, but not of the creator of God, but of the gods who were served by many tribes at the time. When the miraculous work God has done through Moses spread all around, even the father-in-law Jethro also seemed to have been imprinted and believed correctly about the existence of God. So God himself revealed his being through the miracles. So after crossing the Red Sea, Moses had no time to solve the problems of all people all day long. So there was a lot of conflict in a big group of the people, while a big group of the Israelites carried a journey. But there was not enough judges to help those kind of problem to solve. So he was very eagerly interceding with people, listening to both sides and judging. He was also responsible for letting people to know God's decrees and law. So at the time, the father-in-law Jethro was observing what Moses was doing, and he teach Moses how to be more wise in fulfilling his mission. on chapter 18, verse 19. It was the education of the people and the raising of the man. It's important to be loyal to your work so hard, but more importantly, it is to inform the will of God. It is also more important to share the mission with others. So giving answer to the people is important, but also need to educate people is more important. This is why our church spend a lot of time and energy to raise people and giving them to have the heart of God and learning the will of God through the Bible, learning in chronological order. This is how I see the most important thing in today's Christianity. Learn the Bible and have a big picture of the Bible and live accordingly. So if we look at the Bible in a modern version of the translation, it says, his advice is that you should choose some capable men and appoint them as leader of the people. Leaders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They must be God-fearing men who can be trusted and who cannot be bribed. Which is a translation in the Good News Bible. So when we raise a people and leader, we have to raise them up until they can serve another and raise another leaders. Not only just feeding them the fish, you have to teach them, instruct them, educate them how to catch the fish and also make them to able to teach others. So what we have to do in the church is to raise up such a thing, such a person. So to be loyal to that is the attitude that each individual should have when he or she takes over the new mission. What is clear about how to do it is to raise a person and carry on the mission that has been given together. So it is important not to be a leader alone, but to teach people how to live and what to do by raising up people and teaching them various rules and instructions to keep them together. 10 more Moses are better than one Moses. If there were 100 Moses, it would be better to carry your mission, God's mission, more thoroughly. So raising up the people and leaders sounds very good. And you can understand why it's important. But actually in the field, it is very difficult because you have to devote your time and energies. And it requires lots of commitment in our life. But Bible clearly tells us that from the beginning of the creation, we were not meant to being alone. We were created to cooperate each other. If you look at the Garden of Eden, God created Adam and Eve as a wife and his supporter. This is how God created man. How God helped men to create a community to help each other and living in a relationship with each other and also living in a relationship with God. So if we just live alone and living in a convenient way, it's not biblical at all. So in the process of Exodus, so one whole chapter is allocated to record these things because it has an important meaning to know what to do, how to do in community assembled in the name of God. We should deeply understand this meaning, why God is allowed to allocate this raising of the leadership to be recorded in the Bible. In the past, it was a social structure that people cannot live on their own. They should live together with somebody else and cooperate together. But now it has become such a convenient word world and the people can live in their own. So individualism is dominating the workplace despite of the importance of living together as a society developed today. So by this kind of development of internet communication, it seems that meaning of the church assembly will gradually disappear. It is too easy for this generation to select the famous worship and sermon on the internet from around the world with the remote control in your house. So in order to be together, you have to take an inconvenience and persevere each other, accept each other. However, in these days, they are not to be regarded worth to keep it. So it is today's world that seems to be able to live a Christian life without bothering together and being heard by the conflict in the relationship, but simply just worship alone and quietly at home. But it is not biblical at all. If you see the Bible, look at the Bible, from the creation, the human being never been created living their own. So even generation like this, the more we must know the true heart of God that we have been told through the Bible. Otherwise, everything will be a convenience-oriented world. If God's sincerity was not understood and it becomes convenient world, then the consequence end up will come back to the human as a disaster. It is as if the people of Israel became slaves of Egypt and dead, because they had forgotten the promise of God and stayed in the abundant food of the Egypt. So, in fact, no matter how much the world develops, even if it is convenient world for individuals to live, if a big natural disaster like earthquake or war occur, the convenient society living alone would soon be destroyed. It become a world that cannot live alone. So it is important that no matter how much science and technology develop, to live together. We don't really realize until we face such a difficulty, and living alone seems very convenient. You get the delivery food, watching Netflix on the TVs, and you can access all the websites by the browsing and get the information around the world and knowing what's happening around the world by just clicking your mouse. But once the electric shut down, you realize that you cannot live on your own. So it is true that it is inconvenient and difficult for people to work together and accept together, because you have to accept together, understand together, respect each other, and you have to commit yourself to raise up the people properly. But it's true that it would be more uncomfortable to worship alone, quietly live your life. But if we do not do things together to build up the next generation, our children's generation will eventually collapse. This is like he's referring the Chinese proverb. Like there is saying, the farmer never eats up the seed, although dying from starving. No matter how hungry the farmer is, even if he's starved to die, they keep the seed without the eating. So every year, the farmer pick up some of the harvested grain each year and store them separately in the barn. And when the season comes the next year, they sow the seed, because seeds are so important. When farmers look after them with their whole heart and effort, because the following year harvesting in depends on this seed. But over the last 40 years, the field of the agricultural environment has changed a lot, because there's now seed companies, and they develop the seed. So farmer no longer, they keep the seed for the year after. They don't develop the seed at all. There is the only way to get the seed is you have to purchase from the seed company. So now each country, they put lots of effort to keep those seeds. Because the farmer given up to keep those seeds, now they are threatened by the national GMO companies. So the important meaning to keeping the seed for the next year and for next generation is already forgotten. So in the same way, likewise, we raise up the next people in the church here has the same meaning. So raising up the people like Moses is hard, and we're just having a fellowship, just having a comfortable relationship. It's like we're not keeping the seed for the year after, seed for the next generation. That's why today's church is materialized, individualized. Those kind of the paradigm comes into the church, driving the church to the destruction. So if we just enjoy the party in the church, it's very easy and convenient. But which is not biblical. This is not what Bible tells us about church is for. The purpose of the church shouldn't be like this. The purpose of the church should be the raising of people like Moses, having a heart of the God. You can't say God is almighty, he can do everything without our obedience. Even though God made a lot of miracles during the Exodus, making water on the rocks and raining the manna and quail from the heaven and divide the Red Sea and let them to walk across the Red Sea. But raising people, he still asks people to obey. So we are not making our own kingdom. We are building up the kingdom of God. Now, to make the will of God come true according to the counsel of his father in father-in-law Jethro, he began to set man up by discerning the voice of God. So this is what I think the purpose of the church, the raising the people like Moses, who has the heart of God. So this is what our church has been doing last 10 years. I want every one of you, leader, intern, remember this, and I want to live for this. No matter how old you are, there will be a people you are related. There are people for us to evangelize. They are our mission field. I think the church is the battleship. Not the sailing boat, not for the tourist. We are in a spiritual warfare. Of course, there are people not devoted to the vision. But even though there are peoples not devoted, we should drive our vision together, put our heart together to build the kingdom of God. The fourth part of the Exodus is chapter 19 to 24 about the covenant. So chapter 19 is about covenant, chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, and the articles about chapter 21 to 24. So we have been looking at the history of the journey up to the arriving at Mount Sinai through Mara, Elim, Sin Wilderness, and Rephidim after crossing of the Red Sea. After the Exodus, people arrived at the foot of the mountain Sinai at the first day of the third month of the Exodus, which is written Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. So the Septuagint version, which is a 70 people version translation, and the Jewish tradition say that this is the first day of third month. So In the middle of the first month, 15th, the Israelites had the Exodus. So it took 30 days to reach the Sin wilderness. Then it is the first day of the third month when they arrived at Sinai. So it took another about 15 days. So it can be calculated about altogether 45 to 46 days in total to arrive the Mount Sinai from the Exodus. So at last people arrived at Mount Sinai, where God called on Moses to make his covenant with the Israelites. Most people think that miracles are the best highlights of the Exodus, such as 10 plagues or the crossing of the Red Sea. In fact, the most important part of the Exodus is the covenant of Mount Sinai. This is the very essence of the Exodus. God saved them from Egypt, the land of death, and speaks God's expectation to them now by the covenant. Through this, we can clearly see why we are called saints. It is very important part because we are becoming to know clearly who God is, how He works, and who we are as a saint, what to live for. So as the biblical history is continued, the cause of the blessing and hardship of the Israelites will face are based on these promises made on covenant of the Mount Sinai. So the content of this Sinai covenant will help us understand why the whole history of the Bible flows as is. So when we look at the love of the cross of the Jesus Christ on the cross, we should be able to understand where it comes from, where it began. Because if we just look at the completion of the mission of the Christ, we easily miss out why Jesus had to come to the world and why he did for us. So from the love of the cross of the Christ, we should be able to understand heart of God from the creation, who created the whole entire universe. But that is why Jesus carried those missions for the kingdom of God. Why Jesus accomplishing and completing the law of God. God keep on telling us through the journey, the relationship with Him and between us and Him. Through the Mara and Rephidim and deserts of the sin. We should be able to understand the inside what sort of the relationship we have today with God and how we should live for. And who he is. So every beginning of the year, most of the brothers and sisters try to read the Bible thoroughly, but most of them easily fail when they reach to the chapter 19. But up to the chapter 19 of the Exodus is kind of a story of the Israel and the creation of God. It's a very easy to understand. But when we come across the chapter 19 of the Exodus, it starts telling you about the law of the God, which is the promise and a covenant. Then it makes us suddenly get bored and tedious. So end up with giving up the reading the Bible thoroughly. So when they arrive at the Mount Sinai, God tells to the Moses and the people in chapter 19. This is the translation of the Good News Bible. You saw what I, the Lord, did to the Egyptian, and how I carried you as an eagle carries her young on her wings, and brought you here to me. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own people. The whole earth is mine, but you will be my chosen people, a people dedicated to me alone, and you will serve me as priests. So in this verse, we can see what the meaning of the Sinai covenant was and for what purpose it was made, and it helps us to understand what the promise means to us and why we are here for today. So we'll continue to explain. So firstly, the whole earth is mine. There was no God and no religion saying, whole earth is mine. Because the gods, the people been believing, and religion people been believing, have been believing, they belongs to the region or countries they live. The Greek God say Greek is theirs. Chinese God said Chinese their own, his own. Japan God claim for Japan. And for example, Korea, Dangun claim for he's a God in Korea. Korea is his own. But there was no God, no religion claim. All the universe is created by him and it belongs to him. Only our God saying, all the world belong to me. The whole earth is mine. I have created the universe. So through many times of self-revelations of God, Israel has clearly understood what kind of God is. God sent Moses to save Israel by 10 plagues and a Passover event, and he made a way through the Red Sea, making the dry road, leading the people with the pillar of fire and pillar of cloud, and raining the manna and the quail from heaven, who have previously revealed to his ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was a God who taught us to live a life of such amazing miracles and to live a true, trustworthy life that showed unchanging love to the Israelites regardless of their complaints and continuous disobedience. So if you do not know who God is, you can easily fall into idolatry. Knowing God properly is the foundation of our faith. From the belief that God is the creator of this world, our faith begins. However, the world collides with the beginning of the world. God, who we believe is the Lord of all the world, who created all things and all mankind. As the master of the world, he makes a covenant with his people. Second, if you obey me well. You in this verse is Israel who exodus from Egypt. If God did not deliver Moses and deliver them at the time and did not bring them out of Egypt, it would mean you Israelites who would have vanished on this earth for only 50 to 80 years time. Why? When the Egyptians give birth to the boy baby, they had to throw them in the Nile River. So although who have been cut off from the relationship with God are destined to go to hell, and they are now object of the covenant. So people call out for the promise of such a covenant with God is to obey to the word of God. To obey the word well is to listen to the intention of the speaker and the heart so that you can fully understand the will of God, not your own understanding. Therefore, if you determine to live your life according to the will of God, the most important thing is to listen to the word of God first and hear it well. Learn the Bible from the beginning to the end so that you do not alter the will of God according to your thought by adding or subtracting it. Understanding it correctly and goes so far as to convey the truth of God to others correctly. And number three, if you keep my covenant, if you comply my covenant. The covenant here referred to a covenant God made with Israel at the mountain Sinai. It is a covenant that had been revealed to the people of faith. If you look at the chapter 2 in Malachi, it refers to my covenant with Levi. Then chapter 2 verse 4 in Malachi says, then you will know that I have given you this command, so that my covenant with the priest, the descendants of Levi, will not be broken. Here, the covenant is Leviticus. God does not give the land belonging to the tribe of Levi, but the tribe of the priesthood, who spread in each tribe to serve the righteous promise with God. He now gives a mission to keep the law and ordinance given here at Mount Sinai. So the 12 tribes exclude the tribe of Levi for the special mission and role given from the God, and replaced with two of the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. They are those two tribes replace the Levites. So it become 12 tribes. Becoming 12 tribes. So what is this covenant? The covenant of the mountain Sinai. The covenant of Leviticus. So continue in Malachi chapter 2 verse 5 says, in my covenant I promise them life and well-being. And this is what I gave them so that they might respect me. In those days they did respect and fear me. In the Good News Bible translation, it is covenant to give life and peace, and the reason for giving this covenant is to be able to fear God. The basic meaning of fear is fear and trembling, which is not the fear of terrible existence, but a holy fear, godly reverence that recognizes God's sovereignty and glory. Therefore, the word to fear means to be careful with a good heart, a respectful heart. In other words, it is a purpose of covenant and the law to make God a relationship of love, a personal relationship, not a God being used for achieving people's purpose. Therefore, to fear God is to love God, to respect God, to respect personally. It is not just a great presence in every believer, but a personal way of knowing in a fellowship and a relationship of love. God is now trying to establish a relationship of trust, not to give his people discipline and laws. It is not compulsory, but it is now offered personally through Moses and invited as a privilege. As a result of believing in God and living according to the word, the fruit of that obedience is life, peace, and life of the prosperity. The Greek original terms of the faith are pistis and pistothios. If you look at the meaning of the original languages, there are various meanings such as true, loyal, believing. It cannot only be understood as believing, but it also means to be true and to be loyal. In short, the faith is not just about knowing, but about being truthful and loyal to the promise. So even if you go to the church, it doesn't guarantee to make you as a person who keeps the promise with God, who is faithful to the promise. When we use the word personnel, means a person who keeps a promise. Person can only make a promise and keep the promise. If you say to people and a cat not to eat the fish here, try not to eat meat in front of the puppy, what do you think to happen? When I say a car to listen to my word, you should eat only this kind of thing, you should not eat all other cow's grain, do you think that they listen to you and they keep the promise? It's impossible. So animals are not personal. Promises cannot be kept. And that's why the people force the action and take the action. But because of the man is personal, who can make the promise and keep the promise. God does not force people, but make a promise and makes a covenant. We call the Bible the Book of Promise, Book of Covenant. Old Testament, New Testament, it is book that the living God has promised to man. So the faithful man is one who reads and take care of what God has promised through the Bible. What promise he has and work on his own accord to keep the promise in any situation. God called these people faithful and trustful. Therefore, if you want to keep the covenant well, you must listen first then obey. How can you keep your promise faithfully if you do not listen well and do not know what the promise is? That is why it is nonsense to live faithful life without knowing the Bible correctly, but just a religious life. Read the Bible and listen to it carefully until God's heart is heard and felt, until the heart of God is filled in us. Therefore, you must read it until we know the sincerity of God and the weeping. So I don't want you to be here as a religious practice, but want you to learn the heart of God through the Bible. So when we read the letter contained a true heart, sometimes it makes us cry. So when I want all you to have this kind of attitude and heart when you read the Bible. So we should give ourselves and devote ourselves, surrender ourselves voluntarily, not by force, because he treats us as a personnel. So you will be my possession among all nations. In the verses, God means God does not use people for his mission until they become his own, until they surrender voluntarily, give their heart to God. God has made you his own, but if you have not personally given yourself to God, you still do not belong to God. Things becomes mine when we make. But men are different. Human beings are different. Even if I bought, kids cannot be mine. Even if my children see that I have nurtured and I fed and I supported to study, they try to do it on their own way because they are personal beings. Because children are not like a material. Nobody can do what they want them to do. Personal being is not what I can manipulate even though I gave birth. So therefore, through our personality, we must voluntarily devote our own spirit to God, surrender our own will to God. So marriage is the dedication of oneself to another. So when the husband loves his wife, Bible says, as Jesus loved the church and gave himself to it. Jesus sacrificed his body for a church and he restored the relationship with God. Many people in the church do not want to accompany to God, but to pay tithe and offer services to the church for God's favor. They live with this kind of attitude. God wants us to have a personal relationship with Him in our daily life, accompanied to Him. We often have an economic relationship with God and just to become a partner in our business. So you should not live like that. Tithe and offerings are just an economic order in Christian life. And what is really important is the meaning of the sacrifice and burnt offering to bring all my life, my heart, as an offering to God. So whether we live or die, or eat or drink, we should do it for God and His kingdom, because we are dead as a burnt offering at the altar, as is written in the Bible. So whatever we do, it is to be as a promise to live in relationship with God. So God cannot work through us until we give ourselves fully to God and live a life that accompanies everywhere in our lives. Because there was no people voluntarily commit their life to the God. There were time gap in between the God chosen the nation and delivering the nations. God had to wait until the person like Moses to be prepared. The contents of the Mount Sinai and the covenant is all about, can you live with me in a true relationship, in loving relationship? Brothers and sisters, when you read the Bible, we can easily find God is surprisingly lonely. God is always seeking a true person who knows God's sincerity, but there are few people know God's heart and love God with sincere hearts. Majority of people want to use his favor for a while, but not live with God at any time. Is it possible to be used for God if you devote yourself to Him? It is another matter that is devoted and can be used. When we give some of the spare time to God after using the most for ourselves, God is not pleased with such an offering. We hardly find a time to devote to God because we're too busy. And so many excuses. We have no time to read the Bible, learn the Bible, and live accordingly because too busy. We are living too busy life. No time for praying. No time for worship. What does it mean? Most of us living on that level of the relationship with God. Those kind of the survival relationship with God and just giving such a spare time is not much different from what Bible says in Malachi chapter 1 verse 7 and 8. This is how, by offering worthless food on my altar, then you ask, how have we failed to respect you? I will tell you, by showing contempt for my altar. When you bring a blind or sick or lame animal to sacrifice to me, do you think there is nothing wrong with that? Try giving an animal like that to the governor. Would it be pleased with you or grant you any favors? It's in the translation of the Good News Bible. These verses clearly reflect today's Christian life. Many of us, we need to deeply think about how we offer to the God, how we devote our life to God. Is that your life of the faith? So giving spare time, whatever left over, it's not much different from the Bible. Offering and sacrificing the animal with the blind and sick or lame. God gave us the best, most precious thing to us. But our excuse is business is too busy, family is too busy, study is too busy, my career is too busy. How then does God carry the ministry of life that gives the birth to life? We sabotage, commit to division, strike, laziness when we carry the ministry. What ministry will you do with these excuses? Lie, enjoy your time? God is almighty, but He does not work with a dry stick, but works through the person with the heart of God. So when you can work with Him, when you are prepared to offer the best of yours, most precious thing in your life, maybe when you are busiest time, that is the best time, most precious time. This is a time to come to God. So we'll continue the covenant of the mountain Sinai in the following week. It can be the precious time for God every Sunday service if we give our heart, if we determine to live for the God. God doesn't want to rule over us. He wants to treat us like a friend. He wants to have a personal relationship, loving relationship. He wants to make a covenant of Mount Sinai with me today. Our God is not there for favor to our mission, our goal, achieving my personal greediness. He's invited us to the life of to the heaven. I wish everyone repent and get back to the relationship in love, in personal. Because God created us as a person. That's why He gave us this book of the promise, the Bible. I want you to challenge this year, 2019, read the book thoroughly and carefully and live accordingly. So look back our life, whether we keep just giving our God, the loving God, or the spare time, whatever the left over after use for all my own. Let's determine. I want to challenge you to commit yourself and devote yourself the most precious time, most precious thing you have. Father God, I want to devote most precious thing from now on. I want to give you most precious time now from now on. Let's pray and determine.